Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Augusta Civic Center. I am Travis Barrett alongside Drew Bonifant, basketball writers for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. It is the final podcast of tournament week. I want to say it's bittersweet, Drew, but I'm not going to lie to you. It's been a long week. It's been a grind. I'm glad for the break.
It's been fun from day one. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's been a blast a minute right
yeah,
from day
is,
one.
This has been awesome.
Regional final Saturday, and we had a bunch of them here in Augusta. We just finished up Class C South regional finals. We started with the girls. The often overlooked, always underappreciated Monmouth girls basketball team.
Yep.
Number two seed beat top seeded Booth Bay 42-37. They're back to the state championship for a second straight season. And in the boys game that just ended, Class C South, Halldale 51, they defeated reigning regional champion Winthrop 51-37. In Bangor this afternoon, in what would be classified a mild upset, the sixth seeded Winslow Black Raider girls 43-39 over Presque Isle in overtime. They're going to a state championship game for the first time since 2005, which is the last time actually the Winslow girls won it all. And then very earlier, see, you can tell it's been a long week, Drew.
Very much time earlier.
Very much. A little while ago. Class D South here in Augusta. The Vinyl Haven girls beat Rangeley 59-49. Vinyl Haven goes back to the state championship game. And the Greenville boys, things got a little tight there with A.R. Gould at the end, but a 13-1 run for the Lakers. The top seed wins at 43-28. They're off to the Class D state championship. But I think we're going to start, obviously, with Class C South. Drew, what surprised you about the Halldale-Winthrop boys game?
That Halldale took control of the game the way they did early on. It was
immediately. It felt immediate.
It was they got right on the Winthrop ball handlers and just forced mistake after mistake. It was, you know, they had the advantage on the boards, but it seemed like the game was really decided in between, you know, in the middle of the court where they were picking off passes when Winthrop was trying to bring it up. They were picking off passes, once Winthrop kind of got their offense set up. Very active hands from Halldale, and that they had. I'm trying to think of how many steals that they had in the first half. I don't have the number in front of me, but it was close. They had
many large allot numbers.
Large allot numbers escaping me. But they really pushed the pace and forced the issue and got ahead double digits early in the second quarter. I thought this was going to be a back and forth down to the wire game. And Winthrop was chasing them the whole time. So it was a really, really good start from a Halldale team that had slow starts to this point in tournament. They started slow against Trape. They started slow against they had a tough finish against Richmond. Were able to pull that one out. This one they were in control from start to finish. So yeah. a great regional final for them.
Yeah, I looked up at one point, I think in the first quarter, and I looked at you and I said, this is not how I envisioned this to go. I mean, it was all Halldale early and kind of gave them the cushion they needed throughout. It never really got closer than 8 points, and it felt like once or twice there in the second half, Winthrop would pull to within eight, and it just felt like Halldale had a big answer with a three or something and pulled away. But I thought Winthrop's size advantage, especially down low, would make it hard on Halldale. I mean, they have some smaller guards, Halldale does, but they play so hard and they play so quick. And they, like we were talking about, they push the pace so much, it didn't matter. The size advantage for Winthrop never came into play.
Yeah. First of all, it was 19 turnovers in that first half.
I can confirm he did not run and grab a stack of papers.
I could see the sheet and see the number right there.
That's a lot of turnovers.
It was a lot of turnovers, and it was
very much
steals. It was throws away. They just looked flustered. They started to kind of get the rhythm late, and at one point they brought it back to eight. Then turnover was returned, got Halldale right back in it. And Halldale, to their credit, they knocked down shots. They were doing what they were doing against Richmond, which was when it got tight, they stepped up their game. And they stepped up their game when it looked like Winthrop could be pulling a Booth Bay situation here.
Yeah.
You know, getting themselves back into it. Halldale just slammed that door shut. It went from 8 points to 15 points in the blink of an eye. It was never Winthrop's game to win. It was Halldale's from start to finish.
No, it really was. You're right. It wasn't. And, but credit the environment. I want to mention the environment tonight because it was, it's the biggest crowd we've had all week. Without question, it's the kind of crowd you think of when you think about the tournament and showing up an hour and a half early to make sure you get a seat. Really loud, both student sections were jam-packed full at the end there at the south end of the gymnasium, which is the first time all week we've seen that. Mm-hmm. Just a great atmosphere. And, you know, yeah, Winthrop never really gave themselves a chance to win the game, but they competed. I mean, it's not where...
Oh, yeah.
It was not a 30-point blowout. It was, I think one of the things that jumped out to me early in that game, I remember Winthrop had made... They were able to grab some rebounds in succession, and they got second and third chances, and they were missing little layups off the glass and little two-footers mm-hmm. that a team with that size doesn't usually miss. And my immediate reaction then was they're in for a long night. If they can't reel that in, they're in for a long night.
Yeah, they had to. They had the size advantage over most teams that they play. They have it over Hallidale. We've talked about Hallidale plays bigger than they are, but still, yep. if you're six feet tall, you can only play above your size so much when you're going against a kid like Cam Wood, who's 6'8".
Yeah,
and he had over 15 rebounds. He was doing his work for them, but nobody else was chipping in. Mm. They had a bunch of 2 and 3 rebound nights, while Hallidale had a bunch of 5 and 6 and 7s. So. It was just an advantage that it was an area that they needed to have an advantage, and they didn't get done. And it's been kind of that story all throughout the season. Every time they play Hallidale, they play tough. They just don't have enough to get over the hump. And Tom MacArthur, the coach, was saying it afterwards. He said before the tournament, he says, you can't sleep on Hallidale. They've proven they're the best team. And going into tonight, he said he hoped that they kind of narrowed the gap. Maybe they had made that title up for grabs again, and he said, nope, we found out that Hallidale very much is, they were the best team coming in, they're the best team now.
Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, it's a good team, a really great effort. I think, again, Hallidale's effort from start to finish, it's kind of, if you're a coach, that's what you want to see in your regional championship, right? You want to see start to finish, you want to play your best basketball right now, and I think Hallidale probably did tonight. They looked really good.
You want to see your stars embrace this moment, too, and I think... Well, a guy like Ashton Abbott, I think, is pretty much playing the way he did during the season. Mm-hmm. He was a high teens, 6-7 rebound guy during the regular season. He's been that way in the postseason. But a guy like Alec Byron has really stepped his game up. He's getting steals for them. He's knocking down threes. He's making tough baskets in down low. He had 2 and 1s kind of back to back at a key point in this game. He had 20 points in each game so far. Tournament MVP. Well-deserved. He's really stepped his game up for them.
Yep. And speaking of your star players stepping up in your biggest moments, if we look at the girls' game, Monmouth and Booth Bay, Tia Day had 5 points in the quarterfinal win for Monmouth, and she had 5 points without a field goal, and she had 5 points in their semifinal win the other day over Richmond. Tonight, she had 14 points. She was... quite arguably, the great thing about Monmouth tonight is you can make a case for about 7 different players, but mm-hmm. she was without a doubt a key performer for Monmouth tonight when they needed her most against a Booth Bay team that had a size advantage, that was coming in as the favorite, the team that everybody had talked about since the season tipped off in December. And I think what Monmouth showed tonight is that, a team game is going to be two individual star players every single time. Because the real handicap for Booth Bay was not that Faith Blethyn didn't start the game. Mm-hmm. She's been battling, a pretty significant illness all week. She sat for the first 7 minutes of the first quarter. She came in. She played almost all the second quarter, third quarter. She played the rest of the game, essentially. I mean, yeah. She was a regular rotation. And she finished with her 20-plus points. Paige Brown finished with her 15 points. But the rest of the team scored, 11 points. And that's where it fell apart for Booth Bay. And Booth Bay's coach, Brian Blethyn, talked after the game about... typically what defenses do is they start concentrating on Faith and Paige, and suddenly it opens it up for everybody else, and we get our secondary scoring and everything gets going. But Monmouth's defense was – you hear it all the time from coaches. We'll let them get their 30 points, but we're not going to let anybody else beat us. And it never really works out that way. Tonight for Monmouth, it completely worked out that way. We're going to give you – they scored 76% of Booth-based points from two players, from Paige Brown and Faith Blethyn, but nobody else did anything of note.
You're right.
And Monmouth is your regional champion again.
When Monmouth got out to that early lead, and when like you said, with Faith Blethyn not getting the start, they got off to a big lead. Blethyn wasn't in, and you just thought, man, what would this game have been if she were healthy, if she were at full strength? It would have been, the undefeated team with their two best players, and so you kind of had that thinking. But then the second half, Blethyn comes in, start plays pretty much the whole way, takes the game over. She was ailing, it wasn't showing in the stats.
Yeah.
Brings them back, and Mama still makes the plays to hold them off. So what I'm getting at is this was not a cheap win for Mama.
No,
this
not
wasn't,
at all.
This wasn't, you know, Blethyn having to play only 4 minutes because she just can't go anymore and scoring 2, 4, 6 points and winning that way. They got a big game from Blethyn. They got a big game from Brown. They got everything that they could have hoped to get, and Mama still found a way to pull it off. So, worthy champion.
Yeah, and I think there is a, you know, you talk about motivation and satisfaction. I think there is a real degree of satisfaction in this win for Monmouth, because I think even though they won the regional championship last year, even though they went on to win the state championship in a really pretty convincing effort, defensively, as I remember from that state championship game last year, not a lot of points were scored, but Monmouth didn't give up many points. Defensively, they were really good. And I think there's a real measure of satisfaction for Monmouth, because last year they heard about how, yeah, but, Booth Bay got bounced in the semifinals and you never played them in the regional championship. And Scott Wing talked about, you know, this is nice because now we went through the team we were supposed to go to get to the state championship game. So it is. It was a, you know, that's a gut check win for Monmouth. Absolutely.
If I could, this might be making too big of a point, but you remember when the Red Sox finally went to the world, finally won the World Series?
Yeah.
People said they loved the fact that they had to go through the Yankees to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
This was, yeah. You know, they didn't backdoor this. This wasn't Booth Bay having an off night and getting ousted by a Madison or getting ousted by a
the Trape in the first round or something. Yeah,
yeah, an Old Orchard or something like that, and that they won that way. They went through the team that everybody said, you know, well, let's see if you could beat this team. They went up against them and they beat them. It's got to be. Scott looked pretty pumped after the game.
Yeah, he did.
Players looked pumped. Scott looked more pumped than Chris Ranzo did after the Hall.
Yeah,
I mean, Chris Ranz was talking about after the game about, like, you know, this is nice, but this isn't our goal. Our goal is the States.
Yeah.
And Scott looked like he was like, this was a win where even if they don't repeat as state champions, this is going to be a nice one to be able to kind of file next to how this whole year went.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's one of the absolute significant parts of that game that at the time looked really weird, and you and I were having a nice little courtside discussion about what's going on here. More than 4 minutes left in the game, Monmouth ahead by 5 points, and Monmouth people might take issue with the word stall, but they were playing it as though there were 30 seconds to go and they were up by three, and Day had the ball out near the midcourt stripe, and the guards were handing it off to one another, and it looked like for all intents and purposes they were trying to run clock. They were. But the flip side of it is they were also forcing Booth Bay way out of its comfort zone with that size advantage. They had to come out. They had to defend them all over the floor. It opened gaps that either turned into easy layup buckets underneath for like a Hannah Anderson or a trip to the foul line. And Monmouth took advantage of that. It was absolutely genius. And it's something that you couldn't have pulled off with a team of freshmen and sophomores. You needed veteran ball handlers who were not bothered by the situation, who were, you know, not nervous on the big stage. And that's what Monmouth got. And it was absolutely amazing to see it play out over the last 4.5 minutes of that game.
I mean, we've seen countless teams be in this situation, trying to hold on to a late lead against a talented team, and they don't go that route. So it would have been interesting to – I didn't get a chance to talk to Scott to Scott Wing after the game, but it would have been interesting to say, what was the motivation for doing that? Was it just simply playing clock? Was it that you kind of got a sense that Booth Bay's got the momentum here? We need to do something to stop – you know, otherwise, if we play them straight up, Booth Bay might just take this out from under us. Or if it's like you said, if it's – I trust our poise and our big game knack here more than theirs. It would it worked out perfectly. Booth Bay got into a situation like you were saying, and like we were saying during the game, where it was a no win scenario. They come out and they pressure and they give up the easy basket, or they stay back, or they foul, or they stay back and then they just watch the clock run down.
Right.
There really wasn't something where you could say, "Oh, Booth Bay needs to do this." It was pretty much checkmate at that point.
Yeah, it was, and so I did ask Scott about it actually.
Oh, okay.
And he did say, you know, he talked about having the group he has and they have poise, but he also liked the fact that what had happened was Booth Bay had started. Blethyn had such an easy time in the paint. Mm-hmm. I thought, it looks like practice. It looks like practice against third teamers at some times. She'd just get in there, she'd make a little half a move and make a little, 6-foot shot. And so, but what had happened in that fourth quarter is Blethyn had, for whatever reason, naturally just started to kind of pull out to the perimeter. And that game plan kept her on the perimeter. And they were happy to let her take threes and take long shots and not have to battle her inside for rebounds. It was fascinating to watch a strategy that was so bold and yet worked so well.
If there was one area where it looked like whatever illness she has was holding her back, it was with that long shot. It looked like she just didn't have the legs to get that shot. Yep. You know, it's like when you see a player get tired at the end of the game, his 3-point shot goes off. You know, just when you're tired, you don't have the jump and everything. And she looked like she just didn't have that. So that made so. And she knocked down a big three to kind of keep their hopes alive. But it looked like that shot just wasn't. It was off the whole game. Her free throws were off. So she was able to get her points, but she wasn't able to get her points that way. And she's been a knockdown shooter all season long. Mm. So, but credit to Wing for kind of recognizing that and saying, she could beat us inside. She can't beat us outside. Why don't we make her go outside?
Let's do this. Yeah, it worked. Class B North girls up in Bangor. Winslow came from behind. I think what's notable about this overtime win is that Winslow held Presque Isle and their 30-point-a-game scorer scoreless. Presque Isle scoreless in the fourth quarter of a regional final that allowed Winslow to get it to overtime, where they took over essentially from the foul line at the end of the game. But that Winslow team, I mean, I think we talked about it a couple of times. I've seen them throughout the year, and there's some nights that I watched them and I thought, I don't understand why it's so difficult for them or why they make it so difficult on themselves. And then there are other nights where they look like they could beat anybody in the state, and they've had themselves a heck of a tournament. They've pulled it together at the right time. And let's not forget, in Class B North, with so many teammates, they had to play a prelim game just to get to the quarterfinals. That's quite a run for Winslow. If you're going to use the MLB analogy, I will. That's a wild card team making the playoffs and going to the World Series.
Not only that, they're either the regular season finale or one of the last games of the regular season, they beat a pretty good MCI team to guarantee that prelim game was at home. So if they lose that, maybe they're on the road to start this. So they... not an easy road to get to this point, and they've traveled it. I mean, you got to give them credit for winning these games. They've been in some higher seeds to get to this point. They're clearly a resilient bunch. I did not expect them to win games this way. When we're talking about what defense they played, I thought if they were going to go on a long run, it was going to be because their shooters get hot.
Yeah,
and they were winning games closer to the 60-55 kind of deal. But to win a game, I guess 43-39 in overtime, right?
Yeah.
So it's defense was shining for them, and I didn't see that coming. But it's just another asset for them.
Lindsay Withey, the Winslow coach, had said leading into this regional final that they felt like if they could hold Presque Isle to under 40 points, they were going to win. And I'm not sure she thought it would be quite that close, but she did. She held them to 39, and they got the win. So good for Winslow. They're going to go play Holton in the state championship. Holton, interestingly enough, they won 33-30, also in overtime today over Dexter. Kaylee Bouchard had 27 of the 33 points for Holton. So that seems like a one-dimensional team on paper.
Who are we going to stop with this game,
Let's give her her 50 points, and we'll see where it goes from there. Anything else from tonight here as we kind of put a wrap on the week? Anything from tonight specifically that jumps out at you, Drew?
I mean, aside from Byron's continued performance, I would just say that it's that whole court defense for Halldale. I don't know if they had that kind of defense. Honestly, I thought if it was going to be a team that was being this disruptive throughout the whole court, I would have thought it was Winthrop, because Winthrop kind of plays that helter skelter, all super intense for 32 minutes kind of defense. But I think that they showed a new level to their game, because they've had guys that are good defenders. Tyler Netto's a really good defender. Owen DuPont's a really good defender inside. But they look like a team today that you have to be aware of from the moment you inbound the ball until the moment when you take your shot. So I was surprised to see that kind of element to their game and to see them execute it that well.
Yep, I think so. I think for me, the thing that jumps out at me is, I know we talked about it, but I think the way Monmouth plays team basketball just seems to be at a level that most high school teams, specifically when we get down to the Class C and D levels, aren't quite capable of pulling off. And they do. Scott's got them all to buy in, and they certainly are greater than some of their parts or whatever that. If it was earlier in the week, I could remember that saying verbatim. But they, that's team basketball, and it's team basketball that works. And for the second straight year, it's gotten them a regional championship.
And sometimes with basketball, we tend to look at the individuals. We tend to highlight the individuals, and we say, "Well, how good is this team?" You ask, "How good is Team X?" You immediately think, "How good is their best player?" Yeah. Last year we were saying, "Why does Winthrop the favorite? Jake Hickey." A couple years ago, why is Diego the favorite? Riley Robinson. We look at the top players, but I think if this was about the top players, Monmouth wouldn't be going on to the state final.
Mm.
But here they are, and it's because when you go into player number 4, 5, 6 on their team, you're still finding some pretty good players. They were announcing the starting lineups today, and they do the bench players first, and then they get into the starters. They're going to bench players. I just thought, okay, they're announcing the starting lineup, and then I start to hear players who I know aren't starters. I'm like, wait a minute. So, and Abby Ferland isn't a starter for them.
Yeah,
and depth is really paying off for them. And some coaches will say that's a strength of theirs, but it's just not a big enough strength to carry them.
Yes, it's
what gets the job done for Monmouth. And that being said, I'm making it sound like they just have a bunch of pretty good players. TJ Day is a really good player.
TJ Day is
a really good player. And if there's ever a close game where she only has 6 points, I guarantee you one of those points is going to be a late dagger to buff them. So
yeah, for sure. It's been a heck of a week. It's been we've had our highs and lows. We've had some really neat moments in this tournament. All of them are on centralmaine.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Drew, we'll be remiss if we don't mention a great column that Drew had in today's paper about fans and behavior from the stands. Perhaps we're slightly sensitive to it. We sit through every game with people sitting two rows behind us screaming at the top of their lungs. I wrote a column today about the nature of the student athlete growing up on this stage right before our very eyes for a myriad of reasons. Apparently there's been some controversy about dunking in high school basketball in Maine. I don't know anything about it.
News to me.
Yeah, we have a column about that. Videos, all the podcasts from the week, stories, photo galleries. Please check it out. We've worked hard. We've worked so hard that we haven't slept in a month, and we've done it for you. But I want to thank Drew. Thanks for doing the podcast all week long.
Absolutely.
Thanks to everybody who stopped by and said hi this week. I always feel like it's old home days. I guess when you grow up in the area, you run into a lot of people you haven't seen in a long time. It also means that I'm old. But I am bald by choice, not by necessity. So that's it. Unless you have any parting words of wisdom, Drew.
No, I'm just really interested to see how this Halldale team goes against. I haven't seen the winner of the C North game. I think it was George Stevens. I heard they're up by 24. I heard they're up by 24, and I saw a tweet saying regarding George Stevens tonight, and it was that clip from The Simpsons of the kids looking at a beating taking place, but I'm saying, stop, he's already dead.
Yes.
So unless something wildly dramatic happened, I think George Stevens is in that game. So Halldale against George Stevens. It was a close game against Winthrop last year, and this Halldale team feels every bit the equal that Winthrop was last year. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think we all are. I think we're looking forward to a couple days of rest.
Yeah.
But then we're going to be into it. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening all week. I'm Travis. That's Drew. And enjoy the state championship games next weekend, wherever they take you.